This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining us now, this is a pretty big honor, and Adam Carriker's joining us. You look like you can still play, by the way, man. My goodness, I don't know what I was expecting.
Looks can be deceiving, my friend.
former defensive lineman in the NFL. He was drafted in the first round in 2007. We got this awesome football camp coming up later this month. I can't wait to talk more about this. Adam, thanks for being on the show. Oh, man, I appreciate you, dude.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Let's light this candle.
Let's light it, man. You're a giant man, so I wanted to say this. We're moving stuff today, so I was like, this could work out. If you're here and you just happen to lift all the things that you see Angel and I, there's some printers out there, maybe just on your way out.
All right,
pick one up. Put
you don't
want
to talk to me. You want manual labor. I understand. Did you talk to my wife before this? Is that what happened?
There's some inside scoops
there
going on, man. No, but in all seriousness, it's an honor to get you on the program. I'm looking forward to this relationship, too, because we would love to pick your brain about all things NFL, too, because next season we're excited to see what this Broncos team can do. And
for sure,
just talking about your experiences in the league, playing with then St. Louis and Washington, your experience playing with Nebraska as well. And I know you're still connected with all things football, so this will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, let's figure out something going forward beyond just today. Do a couple of segments today, have some fun, and let's figure out how we can do this going forward. Chatting Broncos, see you. Sorry, that's hard for me to even say, but Dion's made him interesting again.
He's
made him interesting.
How do you view this situation now, being who you are, being a Nebraska? I mean, you have the reddish shirt on, you have the Huskers hat.
Orange.
How do you view this with Deion Sanders and CU? I mean, are you entertained by it, or is everything the Buffs do just like, no, that's disgusting?
No, not at all. Not at all. Just most everything is disgusting. First of all, it's a V-neck. You know what a V-neck is? And this is not me that came up with it.
That's a good V-neck, though. I've seen some pretty bad V-necks.
Yeah, a V-neck is when you could have dressed up, but you chose not to. That's what a guy that I was drafted with in St. Louis told me, because he wears V-necks every day. I'm like, Jonathan, why you wear a V-neck every day? He's like, it's like I could have dressed up, but I just chose not to. I've never forgotten that. I'm like, all right, I don't wear V-necks every day. See you. They're interesting again. They're entertaining again. They're exciting again. If nothing, let's be honest, and this is not the Nebraska guy talking. This is just college football guy in general. No, nobody cared. Even CU fans that I know where I live weren't interested anymore.
Yeah.
I got a text the other day. They're actually a booster at CU. They're like, I'm a CU basketball fan. I was like, wow, those are harsh words. Football? He goes, basketball. He just texts back, basketball. But he said Deion's made him interesting, and he absolutely has. And so Deion was actually my favorite NFL player growing up.
Okay.
Our games were absolutely nothing alike, and I think that's what attracted me to him. We were so completely different in just about every way, and I love things that are different than me, so I found him interesting and intriguing and entertaining. He's going to be the same way at CU. Now, whether he wins or not, well, he can't get much worse, but he's going to win more games, but whether he wins to the level that he wants to, it's going to be fun to just watch that process.
Do you think it's going to work? Just right now, seeing all of this go on, I mean, he's in the news almost every day. And it's not negative. It's just news. Everything he does is newsworthy. Do you think it's going to work?
I think, okay, so we just got done with the wonderful Scott Frost era at Nebraska. All right.
Yeah.
Scott Frost had every reason to be successful. Obviously, was not. He came in the door doing this. For people who can't see me, a lot of talk. And I remember thinking, everybody wants him to succeed. He's got a long runway. He's got at least 5 years unless he shortens his own honeymoon period. And he talked and talked and talked, and he shortened his own honeymoon period. Didn't even make it to 5 years. Deion's a little different because people expect him to talk. My only concern with Deion, he's going to make him interesting, entertaining, everything above that we've already chatted about. If he just wins 5-6 games, gets to a bowl game, people would be happy.
Yeah.
But if he keeps talking, which is what makes him entertaining, he might shorten his own runway. He might shorten his own honeymoon period, which is unnecessary. But it's a catch-22 because that's also what makes him interesting, entertaining. I think they'll win more games. I think USC and UCLA leaving in a year makes the Pac-10 easier to win in then. And I do think he'll have success. My only question is if he's going to hurt himself by setting expectations so unnecessarily high, similar to what my boy Scott Frost did at Nebraska, which hurt himself. So that's my only concern with Dion.
Well, man, this is going to be so much fun, too, to talk about. Get your thoughts on the conference, all this realignment stuff.
Oh,
speaking
yes.
of that, because I think that's going to be really unique. Talking about the Buffs, and I know we got a lot of CSU listeners, too. Mm-hmm. So I said this at the beginning. I mean, if you're a Rams fan, this is actually good for you. You want the Buffs to get popular, win some games. Mm-hmm. And then if you beat them or compete against them, and you're actually, it's a competitive game, people might start talking about the Colorado State Rams as well.
Absolutely. I remember growing up, so I was born in Hastings, Nebraska when I was three. My dad's job took me up to the state of Washington. So I grew up in the state of Washington. I always wanted to live in Colorado. That worked out all right. And so, ergo, I always rooted for Colorado State, Air Force. I've never actually admitted this publicly as I look around, but nobody else is in here but you, me, and maybe one other person, because that makes sense.
Yeah, true.
I actually rooted for CU.
Oh,
I actually liked CU because I always wanted to live in Colorado. Now, the moment I donned that red jersey, that went away utterly and completely. But my point is, I would watch CSU and CU every year. The better CU is, the better it is for CSU for everything you already mentioned.
Absolutely. No question about it. That's what you know, I remember maybe it was 4 or 5 years ago where we had the Rocky Mountain Showdown, and, mm-hmm. and I saw a national article about it that said mm-hmm. the Rocky Mountain Who Cares Bowl.
Yep.
And it's true. And it's like, if you're a Rams fan, you want the Buffs to be good. If you're a Buffs fan, you should want the Rams to be good. Because right now, obviously, Buffs look at that situation. It's like it's a lose-lose. If they win, great. They mm-hmm. were supposed to. If they lose, that ends their season. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Rams can actually start rolling in the Mountain West, and who knows, maybe they move around in the conferences, it could be interesting.
It's why, from a CU standpoint, it's why nobody wants to schedule Boise State.
Sure, yeah.
And it's why Florida didn't want to schedule UCF a few years ago, or refused to go to UCF. They wanted them to come to Gainesville, where they're at. UCF didn't want to do it, yada, yada. It didn't work out. Like, it's a lose-lose for these Power 5 schools.
Yeah.
But if CSU actually becomes better, it makes it a little bit more intriguing. I don't know if it's ever going to be equally intriguing CU towards CSU as it is CSU towards CU. But at least there's a reason to have it on national television again, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and the Buffs are going to get a lot of national exposure this upcoming mm-hmm. season. I know, was it week two going up against Nebraska? Can you stick with us for a little
Absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely.
All right, Adam Carricker. We'll talk about this camp, too, because I'm really fascinated by the names you guys have involved with this camp. And you'll kind of give us the rundown of what all goes into this later on in the month. All right, we'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Joining me in studio, Adam Carricker, former NFL football player, drafted in the first round in 2007. That's amazing. I got a first rounder sitting in here with me, dude.
All I hear is 2007, and that's like 85 years ago in my mind. I'm only 39. It just makes me sound old, though, dude.
When did you retire? Was it about 10 years ago?
Oh, I'd have to go back and look officially. I think it was about 7-8 years ago. Somewhere in there.
But yeah. It's just crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, for an NFL football player, you bust your tail to get there. You work hard while you're playing. But then when you retire, you're still relatively a young man.
I know. It's crazy. I think I retired when I was 31.
Okay.
And one of the rookies in the Commanders, still weird for me to say, Commanders.
Yeah, because you, of course, played for St. Louis, played for Washington.
Yeah, D-line room. He called me old. Mm. I'm like, bro, I'm 31. This dude was like 21, you know, had just been drafted.
Oh, yeah.
But in his eyes, I was like a dinosaur in the football world. It was crazy.
Well, you do sports talk. You listen to sports talk. I mean, I get on here. I'm 36. I'm almost 37. And I talk about a 31-year-old, and I'm like, man, he's old. And I'm sitting there, and you just sound silly when you say that. that these guys, but that sport's just different.
That's just how, especially in football. It's such a, like, the average NFL career used to be 3 years when I first got in the league. Last time I heard a couple of years ago, it actually dropped to 2.7. So I actually took it as a compliment.
Yeah.
When younger guys started to call me old or a dinosaur or a fossil, your initial reaction is, what'd you say? But then after a while, it's like, that's a heck of a compliment.
I would never, to your face, I would never call you old.
Behind my back? Okay.
Now that I know you and I've seen you and you still look like you play in the NFL. Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of guys you see after they retire, they get, maybe they get a little hefty or they go the opposite. They lose all the muscle. They stop lifting. You look like you could probably get out to camp today. So, jump down to OTAs real fast.
So you're absolutely right. Most guys I've seen, I've walked right by linemen, O-linemen, that I used to go against every day and not even known who they were a year later. Brett Byford, a guy who was 300-plus, I saw him a year later. He was running marathons, and he was under 200 pounds. I walked right by him. He goes, Adam. I'm like, what's up? He goes, it's Brett. I'm like, Brett who? He goes, Brett Byford. I, like, stared at him like, that's just one example. Wes Cody, who was a grade-A J-hole, and I don't mean that in a kind way, but he was a senior when I was a freshman trying to put me in my place. It was another situation very similar. He turned into the nicest dude in the world. And then other guys, you know, they I've seen quarterbacks that look like they turned into linemen. So guys tend to go both ways. For me, I'll be honest, it's been up and down. I've had some hard things kind of come and go, different situations. So there was a year where I didn't work out, which is unheard of for me. And then I finally got into it last January, and I lost 30 pounds. So this is the best I've looked in like a year and a half, dude. So you caught me at the right time.
I walk out. I mean, I knew you were a football player. I knew you played for as long as you did. But, you know, I looked, it's like, dang, dude, you look like you just retired.
You caught me at the right time.
So the moving thing, is that still on the table? We've got some heavy things here.
I'll have my agent call you. Okay. We can discuss dollar.
You probably should be careful on that stuff. Talk to us about this camp. And again, first time meeting you in person. I know you and I are going to try to work on some stuff coming up this fall. Excited about that. But this camp, I love youth camps. We talked to Coach Smiley about his basketball camp, what they got going. When I saw this, I had reached out to you guys. I was like, man, we want to get Greg Minuski. We want to talk about this. This looks like a really awesome opportunity.
I'm very excited for it. So it's the Greg Minuski football camp. So for those who don't know who Greg Minuski is, he's a newly hired linebackers coach by the Broncos, by Sean Payton. He's also a 10-year NFL vet. Google the dude.
Yeah.
He looks like a psychopath from his playing days. And I mean that in a complimentary fashion. He was a linebacker. Linebackers should look a certain way, so to speak. You don't have to, but it's great if you do. But we've also got like a bunch of award-winning type guys. Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer, Amon Green, Ralph Tam, former Bronco, 12-year NFL vet. You know, won a Super Bowl. We got some Division I type guys, couple All-Americans, national championship type winners. So we're excited for this year. This is the third year of the camp. It's my first year of being directly involved with putting it on. Josh Davis has done a phenomenal job. One of my former teammates played at Loveland High in Nebraska in the league for a little bit. His dad himself was a Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl MVP, Cincinnati Bengals team MVP, which is not talked about enough. So they were mainly putting it on, and I just kind of helped coach my station, hung out with the kids, went home. At the end of last year's camp, he's like, hey, Adam, you want to help me put it on? And so one of the things I wanted to do, I wanted to get more Broncos involved. And we've always had great guys there. But I was like, hey, let's get some guys, that like some award-winning type guys, and see if we can't get them. Let's swing for the fences. And we were able to connect on most of those.
Man, all these connections. And again, that's what speaks to these camps. What separates this camp is you guys have all this knowledge. You got guys still coaching in the league. Mm-hmm. You got guys that played at a high level, coached at a high level, that will be out there working with these guys. I mean, that's what separates you, this camp, from any of the other camps I'm seeing throughout the area.
So there's a lot of phenomenal camps in the area. Like I said, Josh has done a great job the past couple years. But we're still competitive type guys. I just got to the point where I could play Yahtzee with my kids without a fight erupting. And I'd like to say it was my kids throwing the fit, but it was me. It was me. I'll just be honest. I've improved. I've grown as a human being. But you're always trying to get better. And so I've never actually seen an active NFL coach help with a youth camp before. And I forget to even mention a guy like Dave McLaughlin, who won a national championship at CU.
Yeah.
A current NFL scout with the Jacksonville Jaguars who's going to be there too. So we just got a lot of cool individuals. I don't know if we've mentioned the dates, but it's June 28th, 29th, Loveland Sports Park, the Turf Field.
Love that park, too. That's a great spot to do this. Where can folks go to get more information? They're listening right now. They want to talk about getting registered. Because I do think that that's an interesting point with Greg Minuski. Like, you don't, when I first saw it, I was like, a current coach has taken the time to come over and do that. That's amazing. So listeners right now looking at this, where do they go to get more information?
So alumnicap.com. So we're a nonprofit, so that's the nonprofit. So it's alumnicap, alumnicap.com. NFL.com. You can register. You can get more information there as well.
Okay. And I've got that pulled up, too, so I'll be sure to mention that throughout the course of the month. But June 28th and 29th, man, it's right around
the
corner. Prime time to get those kids. Not prime time. Didn't mean it like that. Don't hurt me.
Oh, boy.
Great opportunity to go out and get some football in this summer. Yep. I mean, I think camps are just so valuable. Some of my favorite memories of sports were the summer camps.
For sure.
Building there. You're personally, you know, learning how to deal with other people, too. I mean, there's so many great things. Not just the X's and O's, but so many great things you can take from camps.
I just love, because a lot of times what happens is I have six kids, okay, five of them in sports, three of them in competitive sports, multiple sports, football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, softball. By the way, we got to start narrowing that down, but I digress. For their sanity and mom and dad's as well, because we got youngers that are coming up now as we go along. But one of the things that happens is teams tend to stay together as much as possible, which is phenomenal. But then what happens is you tend to create a little bit of a bubble, and when the kids get older and when they leave the house one day, maybe they are or are not used to being around different people. And so for me, I've been all over the place. I've lived in every time zone. So for me, going somewhere new, meeting new people is nothing. It's something I've done a million times, but for someone else, it might not be quite that easy who hasn't done it. You go to a camp, you're around all these people you don't know.
Sure.
You're competing with and against people you don't know, and it's great. It's great. And I don't mean bubble in a negative sense, but it's great to get exposed to people outside your normal realm of those that you deal with on a day-in and day-out basis.
Yeah, and I went to so many camps and throughout the summer. As a youth, you go by yourself a lot. As you get into high school, you start going with your teams mm-hmm. and things like that. But I can still tell you all these different coaches that made an impact on me or whatever going forward, because it's just part of the learning process.
For sure. I went to, so for me as a kid, baseball was actually really big until middle school. Then my dad wouldn't let me play tackle football until seventh grade. So I went to I don't know if anybody remember these guys, but Mel Stottlemyre, Jr. I think he pitched for the Yankees. He pitched for like 10, 15 years in the majors. He had a batting cage where we were, but he put on a camp every summer. I still remember that camp like it was yesterday. And I was like 9, 10, 11 at that point in time. Then I started going to basketball camps and football camps. But I still remember those things like it was yesterday. You know, and then our team camps, we always went to Oregon State every year, being in the Northwest. So I still remember those. And like I said, just competing with and against people that were completely different than I was used to seeing. And I felt like that was more fun, intriguing, and frankly made us better.
Well, this is an awesome opportunity to make kiddos better, learn more about football, learn from guys that did it at such a high level, guys that are currently doing it at such a high level. Maybe we can get Greg on at some point, too, and ask him.
So we are working on such things. So I will readily admit that that is kind of Josh's department. So,
okay.
Josh, I'm throwing your name out there. Pressure's on, my friend. But, yeah, the plan is to get some of these guys on with you all here at this great, wonderful station, doing
it,
some interviews, get the word out about the camp, and form a little bit of a relationship there.
Yeah, and we'll be sure to mention the camp throughout this month, too, to let folks know. I got to ask you. Do you know Sean Payton?
I do not know him. I've gone against him, so he probably knows who I am just from a scouting. This guy's really bad at this and this and this, and let's exploit this. He probably knows more about me and is more familiar with me than I am with him.
Well, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the way he's doing the OTA thing. It's very locked down. It reminds me of college football, because mm-hmm. a lot of times college football, man, you can barely do anything.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm told is, you know, if you're out there, you can't really get on your shows. You can't write about certain topics unless it was addressed to him in the presser after the day and he actually acknowledges it. Is that unique? Or is that what you did? You go through stuff like that? Was it pretty buttoned down?
In my experience, I've seen all sorts of different kinds of coaches. I've seen some coaches that are just wide open. Those are becoming the minority, so to speak. It's becoming much more buttoned down as we go along. And honestly, that makes more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know
sure.
a lot of folks are not crazy about that because they want to know what's going on.
They want to know everything
yes.
that's happening every single day.
Here's what I know. Whether he keeps it wide open or he buttons it down so you can't see or say anything, all that's going to matter is if he wins. If he wins, people are going to praise the way he does it. If he loses, they're going to indict the way he does it. At the end of the day, he's got to do what he feels is best to help his squad win, because at the end of the day, 99.9% of the time, that's really all that matters.
Well, and I remember last year with Nathaniel Hackett, he was like the opposite, right? He was one of those guys that opened up and
mm-hmm.
he joked around and we knew everything about this guy.
Is he still here?
Is he still here? No.
Mm-hmm. That's the question.
That was the thing in the preseason was, oh, he's not playing playing any of his guys. He's this guy. He's open. If this works out, who knows? That might change. That might be a new trend coming in. But then it obviously was a dumpster fire, and yep, the Broncos were left searching for yet another head coach.
It all comes down to, again, 99.9% of the time, winning cures all. I'll point to Nick Saban, okay?
There you go, Angel. There's our Bama boy back there.
I'm not an Alabama fan. War Eagle. I'm not even an Auburn fan. I'm just going to say it to irk you. Sorry about that. We haven't even met yet. He's shaking his head through the glass.
Angel's probably like, you know, we're fine. You're good, man. You're good. We're okay.
So actually, there's a family that I know really, really well, and their daughter just committed to go to Alabama. So I've spoken like 10 words to her. Her son is, or her brother has played on my football team. Jacob's played on, her brother's name is America's baseball team for 5 years. And so I've hardly spoken to her, but every time I walk by her now, it's War Eagle. She goes, what's your deal, man? It's out of nowhere. I was like, that's my deal, just to have fun with you. But Nick Saban, okay, maybe the greatest college football coach of all time, debate for another day. What's not debatable is he's really, really good. And what also, if you watch his press conferences, he's not exactly the nicest guy in the world,
sure,
to the media.
Right,
you
right.
could say he's kind of a jerk at times.
You certainly could say that.
Does anybody say a word? Nope, because he wins.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, you want to talk about button down. I mean, my goodness, but nobody says a word. You know, so to me, at the end of the day, if you win, if you lose, that's what people are ultimately going to talk about.
Well, hopefully they can find a way to do that. You guys want to be a winner, check out this football camp at Loveland Sports Park. Adam, one more time, give us some information. Give us that website again. We know the dates, June 28th through 29th, grades K through 12.
Yes.
So an opportunity for kids of all ages to get out there. One more time, throw that website out for us.
Like you said, K through 12. And just to clarify, because sometimes older kids don't want to come if there's younger kids there, the kids are going to be divided up amongst their ages.
Sure.
They're going to compete with and against kids their own age group. June 28th, 29th, Loveland Sports Park. Go to alumnicap.com. That's alumnicap.com to check out the info and or register.
All these amazing names, including Adam, and then you have a coach that's actually coaching in the NFL going to be out there.
Yep.
You want some expertise, have a blast, make some memories. This is going to be that time, that opportunity for you.
And we were talking about CSU players earlier. I actually just got confirmed last week. We're going to have 6 CSU starters out there. Okay.
Yeah, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, from 3 defensive starters to 3 offensive starters. And you're a little bit more familiar with them than I am at the moment, but their starting quarterback is coming
Clay
back.
Clay will be out there.
Yep, the wide receiver, Torrey.
Yep, Torrey Horton. Yep, Torrey Horton, here's a who.
A couple of quick examples. So it's going to be fun.
You're getting all my guys out there. I know Chiggy's coming out there. He's a heck of a guy.
Yep.
Just great players. And I know you have a relationship with Jay Norvell, too. So, dude, I am so pumped about this. I'm pumped for the camp, but obviously to get to know you a little bit more. And I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be fantastic. Talk football, pick your brain.
It's going to be a blast between us. It's going to be a blast for the camp. And here's the thing. For those who are wanting to learn, you know, from as high a level of people as you can, this is a great opportunity. But here's the other deal. These are just good dudes. They're good guys.
Yeah.
And so they're going to make it fun for the kids. So no matter what you're looking for, even if you're just looking to go out and have fun, this is a great opportunity for those kids as well.
I think that's one of the most important features that a camp can offer, right?
For sure.
Adam, my man, appreciate you so much. It's an honor to get you in studio and talk to you. And I know we'll be talking to you down the road very, very soon.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, man. 20 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. What do the Nuggets need to do to make sure they can get Game 3 against the Miami Heat? What's the panic level look like for you guys right now? We'll take a short break. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.